Hello, and welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast, where each episode we share actionable strategies for amping up your real estate marketing game. And now, here's your host, Dave Cole.
And we welcome you into this edition. I'm Dave Cole. We're joined, as always, by Scott Winteroth. How you doing, Scott?
Hey, Dave. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I know we've got a as always, an interesting topic for today. And this one I want to kind of go with your expertise even more than we usually do. We want to talk about what's going on as far as with Google and your marketing as far as the online and your updating. There were some recent changes made in procedure, and we're going to try to keep this as real estate as possible and not too technical. But for those who know that you need to keep providing content or posting things, even if it's a sentence or two, and keep the name out there, it's some valuable things that could save you a lot of time and effort. So I think that's important. And Scott, which do you think is the most important from all the recent changes?
Yeah, well, Dave, thank you so much. I mean, basically, we all have websites, right? And websites, I would imagine people who are listening are agreeing with me that right now the websites are, your website or as an agent, your website is probably one of the most critical components to your online marketing strategy today. So obviously, in order to drive traffic to your website, generally speaking, we get search engine traffic from platforms like Google Search and Yahoo and Bing. But just recently, Google has announced some changes that they are now requiring, if you will, for website owners to implement. And I wanted to take a little bit of time to kind of just cover these three main changes. Some of these changes have been introduced a while ago, so they may not be new to you per se, but this would be an opportunity to talk about them and make sure that you are implementing them. And some of this stuff is relatively new, and we'll talk about these changes and how they affect you and your business. So are you ready for the first one, Dave?
I sure am.
All right. So the first one is actually sort of, it's important because I think it's a good thing to know, but maybe it's not very technical, is that Google AdWords, which is the platform that you use to purchase ads within search engine results. So for example, someone searches for homes for sale or homes for sale in your city, then you potentially could place an ad as a realtor or real estate professional on those particular ads, on those particular search terms. Now, the only thing that has changed is that Google has rebranded AdWords into now what is called Google Ads. So if you previously were going to AdWords to manage your account, you now are going to Google, just an account called Google Ads. But what I think is important is that this is an opportunity where Google is taking time to invest into their advertising platforms and recalibrate what is working and what's not working for them per se, and coming up with new ways to use it. So the bulk of what Google provides in terms of advertising platforms is the search ads. That is the bulk of their online advertising business. But I also, as an agent or as a business owner, I want you to consider that while AdWords is a very powerful platform, Google also does provide other ways to advertise your business. And those buckets are one through what's called display ads. So for example, let's say we want to create little like graphics or images that represent your business as banner ads. We can use the Google advertising platform to show banner ads on websites and blogs that use the AdSense ads to show ads on their site. And that's really useful when you're sort of integrating what's called a remarketing campaign. So for example, let's say someone lands on your website, your agent website, and then through a special tracking code, we can then show them additional ads as they browse the web. And that's what's called a remarketing campaign. So let's say, Dave, you come to my website, you take a look at my listings, but maybe you don't necessarily become a client. So what happens is when the next time you visit another website or a blog that shows ads, I can then tell Google to please continue to show ads to Dave as he browses the web to try to get you to come back to my website. Because studies have shown that it usually takes about 4 to 7 times for a user to convert into a lead. And that's something that you have to keep in mind, because just because you maybe spend, you know, $4 or $2 or 50 cents to get someone to come to your website through an online ad, That doesn't mean they're going to convert the first time they come. And we use remarketing tactics to get people to come back that third, fourth, or fifth time to potentially become a client at that level. And the good news is since most real estate agents usually have a decent commission, if you will, on a sale, that means if you spend anywhere from $1 to $50 to acquire a client, you're usually most likely staying in the green when it comes to acquiring users online. Dave, would you agree with that, or am I off track on that?
No, that makes a lot of sense, and I would actually, just to clarify the part about being able to send ads for your site after it has been looked at, just to clarify whether or not that is if you stay on topic. So in other words, if I'm on there and I'm looking at Scott Winteroth properties, and today I don't happen to see anything that I want to follow up on, and the next thing I do is go to a site that gives the baseball scores and starting pitchers for that night, would I then be able to still see ads for Scott Winteroth properties, or does that wait until I next go to a real estate related website where that then as a consumer is my focus? Because I think that's something that agents would want to have a better understanding of exactly under what circumstances are their ads going to be reinforced.
That's a great, great point, Dave. Thanks for bringing that up. Listen, it depends because there are different variables and there are different reasons why the search algorithms would make that decision. But for the most part, the answer is it doesn't matter what type of website they go on after they come to your website because of the cookie. It's cookie-based tracking. So essentially what happens is Google tracks some anonymized data. So for example, your IP address, and then wherever your IP address drives on the internet is where our billboards are going to follow. And you can be more aggressive or less aggressive with that, but there's not really a way per se just to track individual websites or say real estate only. It's more or less based on the cookie tracking of the user. But most importantly, it's one way to get people to come back to the website. And that's one way of doing it is through the Google remarketing tool. Facebook actually has a similar tool. It's called retargeting on Facebook, where again, let's say they come to your website, we have a tracking pixel, and then we can show them an ad saying, hey, have you made a decision on your home buying solution? And it's sort of the same for Google or Facebook. And I believe Twitter also has something similar. So this is one way of getting people to come back to your website to continue that buying process, to continue that conversion.
Okay, and then is this part of the, I guess we'll say, initial buy? So if I'm an agent and I'm contracting for Google Ads and I want this feature, is that something that I address at the beginning? Is it something I add on? Is it something I can elect and do it this week but not next? Or how does that part of it work?
Yeah, great question. I think that ultimately it depends, again, but generally speaking, if you're doing this on your own, you're more a DIY person, then ultimately you would probably want to do some research and you'll look in how to set up what's called remarketing ads on Google. And that would be, because it's usually a balance of first you would set up potentially some search ads. So you want to drive, first of all, you need to drive traffic. In order for remarketing ads to work, you first need to drive traffic to your website. So you would want to probably start with ads that capture people as they are searching for inquiries within your sort of space. So for example, let's say they're searching for real estate agents in Chicago or real estate agents or homes for sale near St. Charles, right? You would want, if you were advertising on those terms, you would then drive traffic to your website. The remarketing campaign, as I was previously explaining, would be something that we would do after we have traffic to our website. The biggest key in this is that you need to first install a tracking pixel on your website. And that is done through the Google AdWords, or I should say Google Ads tool called the Audience tab. And you can go into the Audience tab and then set up that pixel. And that's a lot of times clients will come to me to help them with that process because it's a little tricky because it's actually working with some actual code, but it's something that can be done if you learn how to do it. Also, you may want to talk to potentially your website provider maybe you have a network website like a Remax or a Century 21. I'm sure they have places within their index where you can insert the code into your website to start that tracking process. And a lot of times that tracking pixel will only capture website data from like the last 30 days. So for example, we're only targeting ads, remarketing ads to people who come to the website in the last 30 days.
Okay, and that could be especially valuable, Scott, if when marketing a specific property, so that this way people that have come to your website within the past 30 days might be more apt to be looking for a property or something you've got to offer versus somebody that came 3 months ago and may already have their property or have already made that decision, and that's not who you want to pay for to get.
Right. Or you a lead within after you say a lead after 30 days or after 60 days, you figure might be cold at this point, you know. So because we don't really want to send ads to people that aren't interested. So that's one way of using sort of Google Ads. Another thing that I wanted to mention about Google Ads is that there's also ways to target people, for example, with Gmail ads. So and Gmail ads are really fun because you can target keywords like, for example, if people are potentially working with agents or they're looking at home buying. So you could target keywords within Google that potentially might mention like home for sales or whatever, and then it will show ads within the actual email inbox. And that's another way to grab people who maybe have recently made a real estate transaction, or maybe they are getting married and you want to target search terms for people who are getting married and that kind of thing. You can get really strategic with Gmail ads and with all these platforms in different ways. There's also, you can advertise on YouTube videos. That's another aspect of Google Ads. So basically, to sort of summarize this first part, all the Google Ads tools, all the Google Ad properties or products are being now rebranded into one platform called Google Ads, and there's a ton of opportunity. This, of course, is advertising, so it requires a budget to get into. Also, it doesn't hurt to work with a certified partner, not to toot my own back like myself, to get it going, because ultimately I can help provide sort of strategies that work and sort of minimize your risk while maximizing your return on investment.
All right. Now, another point, just getting back to the leads within the past 30 days on retargeting, mm-hmm. is this impacted if, because I know a lot of the agents they'll spend or allow, you know, a $500 budget for AdWords, but mm-hmm. some will basically like shoot the wad in the first 2 days. Others will know to turn it off and turn it on, either based on the time of the week, what's going on with their properties. So would know maybe they'll wait till they have 5 leads that week and then shut it off until the next week, or pace themselves. So given that part of it, part of what a lot of the agents do, is that impacting at all this leads from the past 30 days part of it? So in other words, if they're turning it off or it's not on for 2 weeks of those 30 days, does that still run the clock down on the 30 days for the leads, or that part of it? And I didn't really ask that question right, but I think you know where I'm going with this.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really great question, because actually the 30 days, let's say for our remarketing pixels, right? We say we want to track website visitors within the last 30 days. And I think you can go longer. You could do 30, 60, or 90, or something like that. I have to double check on that to be sure. But ultimately, what I do know is you can track all website visitors from the last 30 days. And that is independent from your ads. Like, for example, you don't even really necessarily have to have an ad campaign going to start doing that now. And that's one thing I actually sort of recommend. Let's say you are on the fence if you want to do Google Ads, you know, because obviously there's a cost and you want to make sure that you can allocate the correct budget for it. And I will be honest, it's something that you have to check often. I mean, I'm in there checking ads every day to make sure that they're not off, you know, like you said, blowing your wad in one whole day kind of thing. You have to really kind of be careful with it. I also don't recommend accelerated ads. I recommend sort of spacing them out a little bit. So you can go in there and start actually tracking visitors now, even if you're not necessarily running ads. Because let's say, you know, maybe 2 months from now, you decide, oh, shoot, maybe you just completed a sale and you have a little bit of extra marketing budget. You want to start running ads. Well, then you'll have 30 days or 60 days of clients that are in your cookie queue that you can start to advertise to right away. Whereas if you just start, if you decide you wake up one day and you want to start doing some remarketing campaigns, well, then you'll have to start from zero from that day. Whereas if you go in there now, you'll have something to start with when you decide you want to pull the trigger, if you will.
All right. So in other words, and I guess to take that a step further, that let's say that you as an agent have an open house that you're, you know, you're going to have this Sunday and you really want to promote it. It means that you could, in effect, shoot the wad or go more heavily with the retargeting at all for that, you know, that entire week, so that everybody that, you know, comes to your site basically gets reminded that you have this open house or whatever your event is. And I guess to that point, the question becomes within the 30 days is, if I'm understanding correctly, it's to get them to go to your website or to a specific web page. So as I like to point out, because I'm big on updating, let's say that you do that and it's, you know, Sunday comes, your open house is over. To me, that Sunday night, you should then go in and update your web page. So it's now not showing a what's now an updated open house unless you're going to have it again for the following week. So just to be keeping an eye on that, because now you're spending money to get people and remind people to get them to your page. You've got to be sure it's current, it's with it, it's what they're expecting to see. If they see, oh, that was 3 days ago, then you've probably wasted your effort. It hurts your credibility. So I know I always talk about updating, and that's not quite this week's topic, but those are all things to keep in mind and be making notes, just as, Scott, you're suggesting that, you know, the agents that you check it, maybe every day, every couple of days, stay on top of it. That also works at the other end with your content. Make sure it's what you want them to see. It's up to date. It's not something from 2 days ago, 2 weeks ago, something that's now already sold but looks like it's for sale, and so forth. You've got to kind of watch and monitor each phase of your campaign.
Absolutely. I mean, checking, I mean, keeping things up to date and really sort of monitoring your online presence is so critical. And I'm glad that we talk about that a lot, because it is really important, especially because that's every lead you potentially, it's hard because it's not like people walking into your store. If people were walking into your retail store and they just left because old information, you would know right away what to do. But when people, potential clients come on your website and they leave because of bad information, you don't necessarily see that physically. So you have to just be cognizant that that's happening and you're always working to do it. Now, that being said, there are a couple other reasons why people might come and leave your website. And that brings me to the next point, Dave, regarding the SSL certificates, or secure socket layers. Secure socket layers is something that you might recognize when you go to a website and the little icon in the upper corner turns green, or there's a little padlock icon that turns green. That's saying that the website is secure, or there's a secure layer to it. This has been something that actually isn't new per se. Google mandated probably about a year ago now that every website on the web should be SSL friendly or have a SSL certificate installed. And this is something I've been spending hours upon hours helping clients get their websites put onto an SSL certificate. But you definitely want to make sure you have that, because Google is using that as a rank factor with their organic search terms. So, for example, if you are in the Google search index and you are competing against someone else with similar terms, then, for example, if they have an SSL certificate on their website and you don't, your website will be penalized in search, meaning you might have a lower rank or you might be on page two. And as you know, Dave, if you're on page two of Google, you're not, you know, you're nobody in today's world.
Yeah, exactly. And let me, one of the things that, just for clarification, because this actually came up with one of my agent clients earlier in the week, and I was actually bringing that up because it is becoming even more important seemingly every day, is the agent that I talked to was kind of like, are you sure I really need that? Because she associates the secure certificate with that being a website that you purchase things from. And obviously, it's not like you click on a $300,000 property and decide on the line you're going to buy it and click to get onto PayPal where you're worried about security. Mm-hmm. So probably, Scott, it's a good idea just to clarify the importance of this, whether or not you're selling anything directly off of the website.
That's actually a really good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Dave, because for years I would tell clients that if you weren't basically taking any type of credit card information on your website and you were offloading your online sales to PayPal, you probably could just get away with not having one, right? And just use the secure layer that, like, for example, PayPal would use on their website. Now, that was the case for a long time, but the rules have changed. It's not so much using SSL for data encryption. We're using SSL for search engine optimization. So, because Google, regardless of what type of transactions or what type of data the website collects, Google still wants every website to have an SSL certificate on it. So, what used to be something was only reserved for the e-commerce type websites is now something that we are putting on all types of websites, from blogs to informational websites to e-commerce sites. So, and there's different levels of SSL certificates. Some of them are rather expensive because they provide like an insurance policy with them. There are some that are even free through a company called Let's Encrypt, and you can install a free SSL certificate onto your server. This is a rather technical process, so I recommend hiring out to do this unless you have a in-house IT department or something like that can help you. But ultimately, it's rather technical, but what you want to make sure is that your SSL is installed and also configured properly, because you can have one installed, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's configured properly. And that's one thing I've been helping a lot of clients sort of straighten out over the years or last year or so, is getting that done, because you're going to want this because you don't want to be punished by Google for not having one.
All right, and then what happens for those, to your point on the blogs and everything, especially we have, if it's a blog that's directly a part of your website, obviously your SSL, your certificate covers the whole website, but what about those agents that are doing a blog on a separate, like through WordPress or a service such as Blogspot, where it's actually a different URL or a different hosted site, even though it is their blog? Do they have to worry about that, or does the ultimate host site already have that taken care of for us?
Yeah, great question. If you're using a platform or a service like a Blogspot or something like that, if that's even around anymore, blogger.com, they probably have already migrated over to SSL. So you're probably good on that. If you're using a self-hosted WordPress site, so for example, let's say you have myblog.com and you're using the self-hosted version of WordPress, then you would have to potentially worry about installing an SSL certificate on your web hosting, your web host. So for example, you might use a GoDaddy or a Bluehost or HostGator. Those companies would help you install your SSL certificate. Or someone like me, if that's something that is, you'd rather work with someone like me. So yeah, if you want, you're looking for more of a high touch solution. So, but if you have external websites, or for example, you're part of a network of websites, like for example, you might have a Coldwell Banker, Century 21, Remax, those potentially would be done through your website administrator or whoever sort of manages the entire network of websites. And if they don't have an SSL certificate, I would get on their case about getting one on there.
All right, that's very good info, and especially for agents that are not with the bigger offices that you mentioned, where maybe they're part of a, two office firm or one company with 20 agents that doesn't have a full-time IT person or staff, to be aware of that. And for those just starting out, because I know we hear from agents that are just getting started and love the advanced tips and things that we talk about here on the podcast, that might even be a consideration for you in deciding what office you want to affiliate with first. If you're going to be active with the Google Ads, that's something you're definitely going to pick up on. You need to know that all these different sources are going to be available to you so that you're not caught in one spot that could, it's almost like, think of it like the chain like the progression, and, you know, one spot could be not fully up to par, and that could make the difference. And I mean, after all, you know what one property transaction does to your commission, to your income, so you don't want to have anything that would risk that. So it's also just for all the things we've talked about, even, you know, today on this episode, and there's still more we're going to have to get back into, that you kind of want to have that checklist and make sure that all your ducks are in a row, that all these different elements that you may want to include in your campaign, that they're there, and even if you use them, that they are available to you, so it doesn't cost you further down the road when your time and effort is already committed this far in the process. And speaking of this far in the process, Scott, we're about out of time, and I know we just scratched the surface.
Yes.
And I'm sure we're going to get some really good feedback on this, so we'll probably call this one part one, and who knows how many more parts we're going to have. And rather than go on information overload, I think we will call it a week. So
yes.
Great information, and we'll see what kind of feedback we've got. Please do send us your questions, your thoughts on any or each of these categories. We're happy to expand them out, and, you know, any one of these topics could probably be an entire podcast. But for right now, Dave Cole, along with Scott Winteroff, we thank you very much, and do join us next time.
All right, Dave, that sounds great. Listen, that's another episode of the Real Estate Marketing Masters Mix podcast with Dave Cole. Be sure to head on over to our website at davecole.com to learn more about our past episodes and to learn more about marketing for real estate in various aspects. Please subscribe to our podcast on Apple, iTunes, or Google Play, or any podcatcher service of your choice. And if you like what you're hearing and you think we've got some good ideas for you, please leave a rating on the podcast. That really helps us reach new people, and we really appreciate it. That's a wrap for this week. Bye for now.